Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Nerdy Show. This is State of the Empire, a Star Wars speculation podcast where we look for news in Alderaan places. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hey, I'm Doug.
Mark with a C here.
And, you know, a couple weeks back, the biggest news ever dropped that Disney was buying Lucasfilm.
What?
And so we did a podcast about it post-haste. We talked about our reactions and everything. And then, in the weeks that followed, more news just started pouring in. We're like, oh my God, like we could do another podcast about Star Wars.
Yeah. Like we should do another podcast about Star Wars.
So State of the Empire is a reoccurring Nerdy Show segment, you know, just another part of Nerdy Show, just like the book club or Nerdy Show comic show. And every other week, every couple of weeks or so. When
the news breaks.
Yeah, when the news breaks, we'll be here.
As needed.
State of the Empire. Here.
For you.
Because we're excited. Because this is not just about Star Wars. It's about all of Lucasfilm. Except for Indiana Jones. That's Paramount's got that.
You know, since we're talking about the Empire, I want to take a pause real quick. I want to know everyone's favorite Imperial.
Darth Vader.
I don't know. What do you expect? It's the best one. Hex, what do you want?
General Veers. He's the one motherfucker that was reliable and didn't fuck up. For those that don't know, General Veers.
I know who General Veers is.
We
know
we've interviewed General Veers.
Yeah, we did.
Without Darth Vader, you have no General Veers. My vote goes for Vader.
God. But without General Veers, they would have never taken Hoth. Because he would have had to like leave it up to Admiral Osso. He's like, oh, I know better than you, Vader.
We got to get to the news, man. We can't argue about the best Imperial.
I'm just saying, shout out to Veers.
If there's time at the end, I'll give you who my real answer is. I'll tell you for real my real answer, best Imperial is. We'll get to that. You may be surprised, sir.
All right, so here's
motherfucking Piet.
No.
Episode 7 comes out in 2015. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. We're going to hear rumors. We're going to hear truths. We're going to hear things that are maybe truth but kind of look like a rumor, and we got to kind of decide.
And we're going to hear flat out lies.
Yeah, lies. We're going to lie to you. People are going to lie to you.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm going to tell the
truth.
That
might be a lie.
Or is it?
Oh no, it's a logic problem.
I'll put it this way. I'm only going to report things that I think are maybe true.
We are going to be the used car salesman of Star Wars podcasts.
So like the early C-3PO, so then I'm, you know, we're not going to go the used car salesman route. We're going to then go the British butler route.
There's a lot of things that have been said about Star Wars Episode 7 in the past. Growing up, you know, we had the special editions, and that was, you know, when Lucas started talking about, you know, we always knew that the next movies were going to be 1, 2, and 3 on account of he'd made 4, 5, and 6, and... Well, you're not going to do 7, 8, and 9,
right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
Right then. So there was always, you know, the prequels. But as we started becoming conscious about all these things, that only then was when Lucas started dialing back him talking about 7, 8, and 9. Because prior to that, it had been something that was happening, and he was actually pretty loud about it if you asked him about it. He'd never say, no, I'm not doing that. But around the time of Special Edition and getting consistently louder up until a couple of years ago, all he was saying was, I'm not doing that.
Not only did he say that, he said that 7, 8, 9 would never happen.
Right.
So there's been confusion, to say the least.
George Lucas has been consistently inconsistent.
Right. At some points he said, it's a 9-part saga that has a beginning, middle, and an end. It progresses over a period of about 50 to 60 years, with about 20 years between trilogies, each trilogy taking about 6 or 7 years. He says, I got titles and 10-page story outlines for each of the 9 episodes.
But they've all changed so much, it's like, who even knows anymore?
Right, and then he went on to be like, in 2002 he said, basically what I said was a joke. Maybe when Harrison and Carrie are in their 70s, we'll come back and we'll do another version. You know, he's like, I just said that. I just said that repeatedly.
I think he's just covering, is that he probably did have original things, but then he's like, oh yeah, I got those notes, and then he's like, all right, let me open up that drawer, crack out those notes, dust them off, and go, oh wait, this is not what we filmed at all. This is a totally different story. This is, okay, well then maybe we don't have it.
There's a page which we'll link to, and it's a compilation on Wikipedia. It's called the Star Wars Sequel Trilogy, and it's got... basically a bunch of bullet points of every time Lucas has said something about 7, 8, and 9 dating from about 80 to 89, and then all the times that he's then refuted it. But what we know is that if it's anything based on his previous notes, it could take place 20 years after, so good timing. It is likely to involve older versions of the characters, but they may actually be as old as in their 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm. Good cover.
Well, that was even way back before. That's not recent. That's like, right? That's like what Lucas was saying.
That's what Lucas was saying in the 80s.
Yeah, so that's actually a very happy coincidence.
Yeah.
And it's still a good cover.
Yep. We know that there's a chance that Luke would have a romantic relationship with a female love interest.
And when was that stated?
That was, he said that in 1988, actually. It's one of the later ones.
So that's so, still but who pre knows? Who Mara knows? Jade.
Yeah.
Right. And at one point, Mark Hamill said in 2004 that he'd end up doing a cameo in episode 8, like Obi-Wan handing the lightsaber down to the next New Hope. I don't know if that was Mark Hamill writing his own destiny or if that was something that George Lucas told him.
Well, now, on what you said about them possibly, you know, being the characters being 60s in their 60s and 70s, being like that much far ahead, do you guys know offhand how old Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher are?
Do not.
No. Mark Hamill is 61.
Oh, hey.
Carrie Fisher is 56. Harrison Ford is 70.
Well, they better hurry.
I thought, well, maybe they make him look older, and in some cases,
no,
maybe
sir.
They have
that's
to.
Why I laugh, because I'm just like, oh wow, maybe that will be actually really awesome.
Well, yep, it's coming true, whether he wanted it to or not. Now, you mentioned Mara Jade. Mara Jade, of course, Luke's very famous expanded universe love interest, who was introduced in Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah,
and what we know about that has conclusively been stated. This 7, 8, 9 is not going to be the Thrawn trilogy. Not only have they said that it's not based on pre-existing Star Wars material, but Timothy Zahn himself has said the Thrawn trilogy takes place between episode 6 and episode 7, so there's no way that it could be the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take from that what you will. As far as Zahn knows, the third film trilogy would involve Luke Skywalker's children, as each of the films involve a different generation of Skywalkers.
Now, is that based on like early notes he got from Lucas or something, or is that just like his speculation?
That is how it was written, yeah. It suggested this is based on things that he knows, or at least was led to believe.
Like restrictions that he wasn't allowed to mess with.
Right.
Okay, okay.
That may mean quite a lot coming from him, since, except for A Splinter of the Mind's Eye, he was like the Star Wars novel. Now, biggest news for episode 7... I didn't expect to have anything
concrete
this huge so
yeah.
soon,
yeah.
but
yeah.
we got a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screenplay by Michael Arndt.
Ooh.
And he is best known for Little Miss Sunshine and Toy Story 3.
Nice.
He actually won an Oscar for writing Little Miss Sunshine.
And was nominated for the other.
Nominated for Toy Story 3. So everything this guy's done has been pretty good.
And what I really like about his work with Toy Story 3 is it's him taking an established franchise and building off it and keeping it genuine. Like, it didn't feel like it was odd. It felt like how it needed to end. It was so weird growing up with Toy Story and then as an adult seeing Toy Story 3, I'm like, this is...
Wow, when you put it that way, it's like, dude, I grew up with Toy Story and Star Wars. I hope that's that. I'm a little bit more excited now because of that comparison, actually. I didn't think about that.
So that's why I got really excited on this announcement.
And you know, he's been in Star Wars. It's like...
Yeah.
And best of all, he's very adept at invoking nostalgia without pulling your heartstrings in a really predictable way.
Right, right.
And not beating you over the head with, oh, look what I did there. It's a reference.
Exactly.
The big proving ground for him is going to be that he wrote a film called Oblivion that's coming out soon. It's a Tom Cruise sci-fi movie from the director of Tron Legacy. So
not sure if want.
Oh,
Tom Cruise, but like you Tom know Cruise. How you know my boner Tom, for Tron Legacy.
Hey, Tom Cruise is a ridiculous person and a ridiculously good actor.
Yeah,
I won't argue with.
I don't know how this Jack Reacher is going to go, but he's picked pretty good movies so far to do. Like, I can't remember the last bad.
And if anyone if anyone does talk bad on Tom Cruise, I'm just going to direct them to Tropic Thunder and go just.
Yeah, it's like if you don't love him after Tropic Thunder, it's like, come on, man, give him a break. He's a little crazy, but that's all right, man.
I'm going to raise my hand and say, you know, I'm just not that impressed with Tom Cruise. I think that
impressed with Tom Cruise, you need to see Born on the 4th of July, my friend.
No, I've seen it, not terribly impressed.
Then I don't know what to tell you.
That's kind of like saying, what, you didn't like Peter Mayhew's off-Broadway play? Have you seen him covered in hair?
So here's what we know about Michael Arndt. This is a little bit of hearsay, but I think it's also pretty valid. He's turned in a 40 to 50 page treatment for episode 7. And this treatment includes older versions of Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and Lando.
Yes!
Yeah. Lando's the one that was a surprise for me, because I'm like, I can do with some more of Lando.
We can all do with some more Lando.
And Billy Dee is like, he's still doing his own voice, be it on Robot Chicken or Star Wars Detours.
Exactly, yeah. And for anyone who hasn't seen it already, you got to go to YouTube, type in Billy Dee Williams, Colt 45.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me this guy ain't the coolest. And Billy Dee has also appeared in this music video online on YouTube called the Star Wars Ewok Gospel. It's a gospel song talking about how the Ewoks are always like looked down upon by fans, but they need to be like looked at much better.
Wait, hold on, what?
Billy Dee Williams himself is in the video as like the preacher of like the church that this is filming in or whatever. I didn't imagine it.
What is that?
It's a real thing. It's a music video.
Is it fan thing?
It's a fan. It is a fan.
This
thing,
sounds
as far as
too
I know.
Amazing to have fallen under my radar.
No. I promise you, it's for real.
Hold on, Mark. Have you heard of this?
No. Hang on. I'm typing this in now.
Okay. I know. And here's the other reason why I know about it, because like I saw it online back when it came out and it was awesome. And okay, at Star Wars Weekends a few years ago, Warwick Davis was at Star Wars Weekends. I saw him do his like a little on stage show, like where they interview.
Oh, why's it gotta be little?
Dude, why do you even make it, dude? I wasn't going there. But, dude, Warwick Davis is on stage doing the interview. And
hey, let's face it. When it comes to Warwick Davis, nothing is little. It's all huge. It's huge.
No comment. Warwick Davis, this dude in the audience, stands up and he's like, man, Warwick Davis, how do you feel about the Ewoks ruining Star Wars? And he's like, you know what? He grabs the microphone. He gets up like a pro wrestler. He's like, I'm sick and tired of everyone saying this or whatever. And then, you know what? I brought something here that I'm going to show you. And then he's like, roll the tape. And it was all an act, but it was a lead in to the Star Wars gospel, Ewok gospel video.
What?
And they showed it at Star Wars Weekends to that crowded room or whatever. So I know I'm not making it up. You got to look it up. It's very good if you haven't seen it.
It's right in front of me now.
We'll link it on this episode's page. So we know in our hearts that Billy Dee Williams is going to appear in episode 7
yes.
if he's invited.
Oh, God.
But
yes.
We do actually know that as far as Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are concerned, they've all said, yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I was very surprised that Harrison Ford was even remotely interested because
he's turned down everything at every possible chance.
Well, yeah, because like there was an article that I read that was saying how every time they wanted to do like a cast reunion or something, he was always saying no. Even if it was an official Lucasfilm reunion, he was always just like, no, I'm not interested. No,
right, he's never
really.
Been to Celebration.
Yeah, he's never been to Celebration, and there was in that same article there was a quote where he just said that he never really understood it. He was just like, I never really understood the Star Wars thing, because at the end of the day, he's an actor, and he's always like slightly criticized Lucas's writing for the original trilogy, saying people don't talk like this, you know, and you know George he didn't really understand how characters are supposed to change, and he wanted Han Solo to die at the end of Return of the Jedi, so I can understand why he was reluctant. But now when he's like yes, I'm like, well. Hot damn! Maybe you know, maybe there's a new hope for Han Solo after all.
Harrison Ford, original anti-hero.
Mm-hmm. And we actually learned at some point, I think just after our recording, that in August 2012, Lucas had a sit down, like a lunch meeting with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, where he said, "Look, we're making some new movies. I'm not going to be directing them."
No, I believe it was actually in June. And he told them
that they were going to make 7, 8,
9. Kathy Kennedy was going to be taking over as CEO of Lucasfilm. He didn't mention the Disney buyout was not mentioned, but 7, 8, 9 was mentioned.
Yeah.
Right.
New news relating to the business of Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy, Disney, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is via an recent Entertainment Weekly article. Kathleen Kennedy says that the studio plans to make 2 to 3 Star Wars films a year. Now that's a weird thing to say. I mean, they just announced 7, 8, and 9. They want to make 2 to 3 movies a year.
And that makes me think of what Disney is doing with Marvel movies right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where they're building franchises.
That is the largest running theory for what this could possibly mean. At the very least, it means at some point we're going to get a Boba Fett solo film, because think about the raw, unadulterated money
Holy
bubbling up out of the ground
God,
that represents.
Well, there was
bad.
A while back when Lucas was talking about a live-action Star Wars TV show.
Yeah.
I remember at the time, like, all the speculation what it was going to be. And I'm like, dude, you know what they should do? Young Boba Fett. Boba Fett becoming the bounty hunter, going from a young boy to being the badass bounty hunter. Because that would even take place during the precious Clone Wars period. But they never really dropped about what it was going to be. They never said what time period it would be in or anything like that. Apparently, they still want to make a TV show.
Yeah, it's weird to me that they, you know, after doing so many seasons of the Clone Wars animated series, which has both been good and more recently god-awful, according to our Star Wars correspondent Matt Spill, who sadly couldn't be here with us tonight. He had a lot of faith in that, and it let him down. So, like, that thing's been run into the ground. So what more could they do in the Clone Wars? Yet they still persist that, no, if we do this television show, it's going to be set in the Clone Wars. I don't know.
One of the rumors that I've seen most pervasively that, I mean, of course, we're in this whole flux state of we don't really know anything, even what we think we know, because we're so far off from a release date. Right. But the most pervasive rumor I've seen reposted everywhere, every social network, is that Darth Vader is supposed to be supposedly resurrected for episode 7.
Yeah, we gotta nip this.
If you've heard this and you think it's true,
shame on you.
You've been lied to, guys.
You've been lied to.
The article is originally from the UK Examiner, which is the equivalent of the National Enquirer.
I don't know how much you dear listeners know about UK tabloids. They're worse than American tabloids.
Yeah. And not only that, in the article itself, if you go read the original article, it says, in quotes, an industry insider. Why does that need quotations around it? If it was a true industry insider, why does it have quotes around it? That's not a proper use of quotations.
Right. It's basically, imagine someone posting, retweeting a story from the a National Enquirer about Bigfoot.
Michael Arndt,
Bigfoot is going to be playing Chewbacca.
Michael Arndt is too good of a writer to say, hey, people like Darth Vader, and what's Star Wars without Darth Vader? It's not Star Wars.
Like, that's George Lucas thinking.
It also could be sort of, if there were truth to it, could be possible in simply an angel and a devil on a shoulder sort of flashback.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hey,
well, we've seen premonitions of Vader before.
It's not as if they haven't done this with Obi-Wan for 3 fucking films.
It's true, yeah.
But that was the whole thing about at the end of Jedi.
Oh, he's not Vader anymore. He's Anakin.
We can
now
get some spectral Hayden Christensen. Ha cha cha.
Oh, God. I'm no longer hungry.
Hey, maybe he'll he'll finally deliver the performance he wanted with someone else directing him. Huh?
We're gonna have to save the debate of Hayden versus original
Anakin Skywalker
for another episode, because that's a whole other thing.
So the biggest thing is, who's directing this movie? Who's gonna make us want to watch this movie?
Yeah, now I'll let Cap go first with you with the list of what you got.
Fortunately, some enterprising reporters out there are helping us knock people off the list.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Steven Spielberg saying, no, 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 it's not my genre. It's my best friend George's genre. Quentin Tarantino said, I could care so less, especially if Disney's going to do it. I'm not interested in the Simon West version of Star Wars. Zack Snyder was asked, and he said, I don't think I'd be interested in directing it. I'm a huge Star Wars fanatic. I just don't think doing 7, 8, and 9 is just a slippery slope. It's a whole other mythological experiment I'm excited to see, but it's a lot of effort. And more recently, J.J. Abrams officially declined.
Yeah.
He said, I'm looking forward to the next iterations of Star Wars, but I'll be going as a paying moviegoer.
I got one more, a definite no.
Yeah?
Brad Bird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Brad Bird gave a definite no.
Okay, Brad Bird's the director of Iron Giant, Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, and The Incredibles.
Yeah. I was pulling for him, but, you know, he said he would rather pay to see it in a theater, and I can respect that.
And he was on the hot list of, as far as speculation goes, because he's a Pixar guy.
Yeah.
Here's what we've got for ambiguity. Jon Favreau was open to the idea.
Yeah, he expressed interest in it, yeah.
Huh.
And this is my favorite one so far. Guillermo del Toro said, if approached by Disney, he would consider it. But, quote, it's like thinking if I would want to date a supermodel, I don't think about these things.
I like how he's realistic. That's nice. I do have a short list of other directors that were rumored to be high on the list, on Disney's list.
Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn, director of Layer Cake, Stardust, Kick-Ass, and X-Men First Class.
Whoa.
Which really seems like the most likely one out of the lists I've seen.
The other name that was high on the list, rumored to be high on Disney's list, was Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah.
He directed Safety Not Guaranteed.
Movie just came out. It's like a romantic comedy disguised as a time travel movie.
Yeah. I heard good things. So, I mean, that's good. Other names that were tossed around, these were ones that were supposedly not on Disney's list. The reason why I pulled this up is because in the recent video with Kathleen Kennedy and George Lucas, she mentioned that she might possibly would like to pick a director who she's worked with before as a producer. And I got a list of names here of directors that she's worked with as a producer, and I'll go down some of this list.
That's a lot of people. She's produced a lot of movies.
Yeah, so here's a couple names.
50% of them are Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
It's true.
Peter Jackson.
Ooh.
But that's not very likely, all things considered. Joe Dante, who did Gremlins 1 and 2, Explorers, Inner Space, Small Soldiers, and Looney Tunes Back in Action. It's not too likely, but, you know, he's worked with her. Richard Donner. director of Superman and the Lethal Weapon series and the Goonies. I don't know how likely he is. Robert Zemeckis.
Ooh.
Because she worked with him on Back to the Future, all the Back to the Futures. I don't know what Zemeckis is working on right now. He just finished Flight, so maybe his schedule is open. I'm not sure. He's possible. Another name, Joe Johnston. He did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, The Rocketeer, Jumanji, Captain America. That's a possible one that she's worked with.
Holy monkey.
She's actually worked with Ron Howard. Ron Howard, of course, did Willow. And the,
tell you what, guys. That alone makes me just want to like bump the level, the level up to llama. Maybe.
I'm really, personally,
our listeners know about the Willow Watch?
Well, Willow Watch level? We're getting to that.
Okay, we'll save that for the end. So he did Willow, Apollo 13, Beautiful Mind, The Da Vinci Code. I mean, you know, so
Ron fucking Howard.
Ron fucking Howard. Yeah, one of my other favorites is Gennady Tartakovsky. He did the Clone Wars 2D animated. She didn't work with him, but he is like a name that's being tossed around now as someone who should do it, but no one's approached him.
He does, however, have, based on the success of Hotel Transylvania, he's been given a 3-picture deal with whatever studio that was.
And he has experience with it in the past.
I'm just saying he's not available. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, here are three other names. I'm gonna build it up here. This is these are three other names that she's worked with before, but I don't know how likely it is. Martin Scorsese.
Oh, God.
Clint Eastwood.
Gritty realism of Hoth.
So, Martin Scorsese, Clint Eastwood, David Fincher. Now, here's the thing. I don't think any of those are likely, but I've saved one for last. He is my current second favorite. Nobody, anywhere that I have seen or heard has mentioned this guy's name. He is a great director. He'd be perfect for Star Wars. He's worked with Kathleen Kennedy. Frank Oz.
Ooh.
Frank Oz has directed The Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Muppets Take Manhattan, Little Shop of Horrors, Indian in the Cupboard, and Bowfinger. Pretty much every movie he's ever made has a Star Wars reference in it.
Yeah.
That's it. Start a petition.
I'm, and if you're going to have older Luke Skywalker, who better to direct than Frank Oz? And not just from like a Jedi Master Padawan way, but like they worked together on that damn swamp set on Dagobah for how many months?
Yeah.
I mean, they've worked together, like straight up. So he gets my vote for sure. If anyone's listening, take that to the bank. Like go get Frank Oz. Let's hear him say
what's that Hollywood stock website where you pretend to like
Hollywood Stock Exchange or whatever? Yeah.
Bet on Doug here.
There's no real, I don't know. No one's mentioned him, but I can't believe no one's mentioned him. How could you not? That's perfect.
Yeah.
Producer Frank Marshall, husband of Kathleen Kennedy and longtime collaborator with her, said that in the search for a director, it was down to a couple of candidates.
Yeah. Now, going back to that really quick, they asked Colin Trevorrow. He was cornered at a red carpet event, and they asked, what about the rumors of you possibly being a director? He's like, well, whoever they get to do it, they need to really want to do it. And he was he was playing a little coy or whatever. And then when asked for further comment, he's like, well, that wasn't a denial. He then said something along the lines of, I can't say anymore. So
interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't.
That also seems like a guy who just knows how to talk to the press too.
Yeah, and it's like
he's only really done the one big movie, you know. He's young.
But it's all, but Mark makes a great point. It's like if you want the press to talk about you, you need to be optimistically true. Enigmatic.
It's true. But take that for whatever.
Because at that point, the press is going to be talking about you. Like, oh, the press is already talking about Trevorrow.
And
I mean, because when you think about it, it sounds like a guy who's saying, well, I didn't say I wanted a relationship, but I didn't say that was a one-night stand, you know?
Right. And also, in related Frank Marshall news, when asked for comment about Indiana Jones 5, he said, we're not really talking about it. Nothing has changed. So, and he did say it's kind of taken a back... It's on the back seat. It's on the back burner until they sort Star Wars out.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Good.
Good. This is just a blurb. There's a speculation that Disney and Hasbro at the high levels are talking to each other about a purchase, Disney buying Hasbro, the guys who have the license for Marvel and Star Wars action figures. Now, this is something that we're not going to spend much time on this. This could happen years down the line. We're definitely going to speculate more on this later. Just going to let you guys know that's out there. It's not a rumor that they're in talks about something. Mm-hmm. All right. But now it's time for Willow Watch.
Okay, yeah. Willow Watch, once they announced Star Wars being bought out, we then said, okay, well,
what are the other franchises?
What are they going to do? What are the other franchises? Indiana Jones and Willow. So what's the deal with Willow? When are we going to get something on Willow? When are we going to get a Blu-ray at least and anything? We want another Willow film. I think most nerds like Willow. It's
so. I mean, if you don't like Willow, that's just because you haven't seen it yet,
or you haven't seen it as an adult, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you guys remember 9/11, right?
Yeah.
Who could forget?
Exactly.
Who could forget 9/11?
Oh yeah, yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Right. So remember they had those cute little color coding things. I think they still have them at airports, right? So they got the different color levels. It's cute, right? So we're gonna do that with Willow, but it's gonna be animals.
Mm-hmm. Because, based on the Willow film.
Because Finn Rizzell, you know, she had to fight her way through the animal kingdom to get back to old lady form.
Yeah, I actually started a list in rank of smaller animals growing into in film order and also in size.
So she starts as a fuzzy?
Well, she started as a possum in a tree. But we're going to go a little bit further than that because really nothing's been announced. Ron Howard is currently.
They were previously at possum.
Yeah.
We thought there was never going to be.
So we're starting. So I mean, if we were going to see,
we had a possum
never,
spike back there.
Yeah. If there was never any news of Willow, we're going to say it's that disappearing piglet from the beginning when he's making the pig disappear. We're a disappearing piglet. Ron Howard, he is finishing up work on a couple things. He's supposedly going to work on a Jay-Z documentary. Once that's done, he may rise up to reappearing piglet. I think. I'm really pulling for Ron Howard to say something about Willow or anyone at this point. We can get some word. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that you know, it's only a matter of time. I mean, obviously their focus is on Star Wars, mm-hmm. but you know, I think, you know, it's only a matter of time before we start hearing more about Willow,
other things.
The Radioland murders, you know, anything with Lucas branding on it. They paid a lot of money for this. They're not going to let it go to waste.
So your current official, I think the official Willow watch at this point is going to be disappearing paper.
I mean, if Marvel at this point is working on a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I don't think it's unlikely that under Disney, once again, Lucasfilm is like, you know what? What's another property that...
Let's throw a cameo by Howard the Duck in there. Like, why not?
If we see Marvel re-release their graphic novel adaptation of the script of Willow featuring the deleted water monster scene, man, our scale is going to spike right then because we'll be like, yeah. Oh man, these companies
are going
up to Raven.
Interest.
We're going to have to go
they
up to Raven.
They are gauging interest at that point.
Right now, we got a monthly support drive, as we do, because we're a listener-funded podcast.
Thank you for giving us your hard-earned money.
Listener-funded network of podcasts, actually. So we couldn't do this without you, honestly. It takes our bare minimum requirements for the month. It's just us running and everything is $300 a month. That's what we have to make a month. After that, we start applying it to special projects and everything. We like to play games with everyone. So right now, we've got the November 2012 support drive right now is themed around Ghostbusters Resurrection. The money still goes to Nerdy Show, which is actually some misunderstanding about. Like, in the past, Flame On, our all-gay, all-geek podcast, they had a support drive, and we got the money that we needed for just keeping the show alive and everything, and they applied the rest of it to a special project. The same thing could happen with Ghostbusters, but we keep all that on the table. If we were doing it, you'd know about it. If we were buying jumpsuits for the Ghostbusters,
right,
you'd know about it.
So basically, if you get us $400, we'll be able to cover costs, and with inflated prices, Ghostbusters Resurrection will be able to buy a box of Twinkies.
at the going right now, yeah. Oh, jeez.
So we got this Ghostbusters Resurrection support drive, and the way it works is Ghostbusters Resurrection is a tabletop role-playing podcast that Doug is the game master of. It's incredible. Season one is released in its entirety on Nerdy Show. You guys just recorded the first episode of season two.
We just did the second one as well.
Oh, wow.
Nice! Yeah.
So season two is well in production, and you could contribute to that. You could choose a haunting or ghost for them to bust. And you basically get to either just say, I want him to bust David Lopan. Bust David Lopan.
Or Slenderman.
Yeah.
Or any other famous
one. You could just say that. Bust Slenderman. Or you could create a special scenario as the two current ones have done. We have two of them. God.
Can you pick someone outside of the realm of fiction to bust?
Totally. Well,
we're not going to bust Dale Earnhardt. We're not going to bust Abraham Lincoln.
Well, did you hear the suggestion Aaron made at the last comic show?
No.
He said, I want somebody to throw some money down and bust Triforce Mike's ghost bike.
If you guys are comfortable, I'm.
I don't know how I felt about it, but no one's laid down on that yet. So I don't. It's not a popular idea at the moment, anyway.
I'm trying to tell Aaron to put his own money behind that. Mainly because
I
want his
I'll do
money.
It. You know, I don't even care.
Right now we have a. We got Harvey the Hamster's Half Hour of Horror, which is supported by Archaeus, Trench 88, and Benjamin Britt. That's a children's television program is being haunted by a Mr. Rogers-like figure who's manifesting his imagination land.
Oh, shit.
And Malron has supported The Haunting of Halifax Harbor, which is a harbor in Canada where prior to the testing of nuclear weapons, the world's largest explosion took place due to a military ship filled with ammunition that detonated and killed thousands of people.
It is ridiculous. I looked it up. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so he wants them to bust that problem. And so those are the only two topics we have right now. We are halfway funded at this point, but if you guys want to, you know, get your idea out there, it's all still within reach. And of course, every time you crack $100 mark, like 100, 200, if you're that person, you get to choose a microsode for us to talk about. And even if you just contribute a dollar, you still get perks sent to you in your email, all kinds of fun audio and visual stuff to check out. So, you guys should totally support us, and if you do, then we'll read your messages on you know, on the show, like right now.
Yeah.
Malron said, just listen to episode 59, Nothing is Free in Riverworld, one of our book club episodes. Colin cracks me up and can say my alias correctly. That's worth $10. He recently became an honorary producer of the show. He's also a pirate lumberjack, and he had a story. If you go to our Meet the Team page, you'll see why. Random little tidbit, he says, listening to The Curious Case of Dean Wallace, our, at this point, rather famous Halloween episode, and one of my favorite things we've ever done. He was marking maple trees for syrup harvesting, and he was doing it at dusk, because it's a bad idea. The weird telephoning noises and creepypasta talk start to mess with you. Just thought I'd let you know in case you folks find yourself in a Canadian bush at dark with your MP3 player on. Trench 88 contributed to Harvey the Hamster's Half Hour of Horror because he doesn't bite, he doesn't squeal, he just runs around on his hamster wheel.
Harvey. I was hoping that was what it was, that version, but yeah.
And Benjamin Britt contributed some money to it. He did it and he earned a microsode, and he actually has this thing he's been doing. He's been asking us to do a microsode about our first video game experiences, and this is his third microsode he's earned, and he's been stacking them. He's the only person who's done this so far, but essentially, bit by bit, we're going through our Nerdy Show people and having everybody contribute to this, or as many people as we can.
Huh.
So he's got a an episode that it might be a while before you see it, but it's definitely in development. As far as support for things other than Nerdy Show, Bean contributed a really generous amount to Map Fund, the foundation that we started, the name of Triforce Mike. It's a charity that contributes to other charities. And so thank you so much, Bean. And Tolan sent us a box of rare Canadian Doritos, Intense Pickle, and the most coveted Dorito in all of the tiefling land of Cleveland, Scorchin' Habanero.
Mm.
Want.
Gary Ure wrote to us and said, you guys do great work, and I would just like to thank you for what you do. I only started listening in the last year or so, but you guys have made my work life so much better. Between seasons 3 and 4, Dungeons and Doritos, Flame On, and Wicked Anime, you have kept me entertained and more or less sane for many hours. I'm proud to support such a wonderful source of geek entertainment.
Aww.
Thank you so much, man. It really does mean a lot.
Yay!
We love when everybody writes to us. And this is perhaps one of the most flattering things of all time. Michael Bond invited the cast and crew of Nerdy Show to his wedding.
Oh. What?
It is far away, and the chances of any of us attending are slim to none. But he wrote to us, and he said, you guys have kept me laughing for years now. Like, out loud while I'm at work laughing. The kind where people stare at you. Not that I'm expecting any of you to travel way out of your way for something silly like my wedding, but you guys are totally invited. If nothing else, it will be an open bar. Probably worth mentioning that Shannon Fernandez, his lovely bride-to-be, loves you guys too. Pretty Aww. Sure she had a crush on Triforce Mike. So thanks to everyone for contributing to the show. Thank you for writing to us. Thank you for listening to the first official episode of State of the Empire. We got a track taking us out. What's it going to be, Hex?
I think it's got to be the Ewok gospel, because that's just
at this
too,
point, yeah, yeah.
That's, I mean, if you're listening and you're like, well, but I don't know about the gospel.
I'm not going to pause
Ewoks,
this and then go look it up. I
so
got to hear it now.
They got to hear it. It's all it's right. The only way to close this show properly.
Let's do it.
Well, so we're going to play that. Thanks for listening. We'll be back when there's more Star Wars news. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Hex.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Bye, I'm Mark with a C.
Enjoy.
It's been a quarter of a century now, people, since the rebels won the day. They destroyed that evil empire and the galaxy was saved. Han Solo, Luke, Leia, Lando, they're the heroes we all recall. But let's not forget about their big-hearted friends who were only 1 meter tall. I'm talking about the Ewoks. They were more than just cute, cuddly bears. Let's give some credit to the Ewoks. Without their help, the Alliance didn't have a prayer. I was surfing the Star Wars message boards, and Lord, I was shocked to read all the haters putting down the Ewoks. They say they ruined the first trilogy. Well, they may have been at it for the children, and they may have been comic relief. And it may not make sense that they could beat stormtroopers with such primitive weaponry. But why you hating on the Ewoks? Tell me, what did they ever do to you? Where's the love for the Ewoks? Let's give it up, cause it's long overdue. Clap your hands now.
Ewoks.
The tiny warriors.
Ewoks.
They fought so bravely.
Ewoks.
Living like the Amish
Ewoks, Ewoks.
Take it, Billy Dee.
After Princess Leia crashed the speeder bike, who had our sister's back?
Ewoks.
And who was it that led the Allies to the bunker back door for their sneak attack?
Ewoks.
And at the end of Act 2, when all was looking bad, who set those captured rebels free?
Ewoks.
Can somebody remind me who throws the hottest treetop parties in the galaxy?
You know he's talking about the Ewoks.
They
still got it going on after 25 years.
Ewoks.
Sing it loud so all those haters can hear. Come on now.
Ewoks.
They're inspirational.
Ewoks.
They sold so many toys.
Ewoks.
Yum, yum, now.
Ewoks, Ewoks,
come on now.
Ewoks, Ewoks.
Okay, jerk, you still haven't told me who your favorite Imperial is.
All right, I can tell you.
Okay, tell me.
I can't remember his name. I'm sure he has a name. Right now, he'll be Nameless Guy.
Okay.
On
Everybody's got a name in Star Wars.
In Episode 4, New Hope.
Right.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
Grand Moff Tarkin's looking at the attack.
Yeah.
This guy comes up behind and he goes, we've analyzed their attack pattern, sir.
All
there
the
is a danger.
Wicked sideburns.
Shall we have your shuttle standing by? And Grand Moff Tarkin goes, evacuate to the moment of triumph. I think you overestimate their chances. And he just sort of goes, And he backs up and he goes away. And in my head canon, I believe he did good on that shuttle. He did get away. And I would love to see the story of him being on the run. He went AWOL from the Empire. I think that guy gets it. He's my favorite Imperial because he was smart. He knew when it was a lost cause.
We should find out who that guy is, because certainly
that guy, he has to have a name.
Here's
the thing.
We have Wilro Hood's full backstory.
So many Imperials got their own cards in the Star Wars collectible card game that they all had names.
That's where a chunk of Wilro's background.
I'm going to find that guy. I'm going to frame his picture on my wall. That guy's Imperial.
You'll get
number one.
You'll get his card.
That guy.
I had General Veers's card.
I bet he saw
my Imperial deck was nothing.
He saw what a good job the Rebels were doing, and he said, "All right,
he's part of Rogue Squadron.
Changing sides.
He's in Rogue Squadron now."
Well, there is actually an Imperial in some of the backstory in Jedi who had defected and joined them, and he's actually one of the guys disguised as one of the troopers.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you look at in Jedi, there is a guy in the trooper garb with his hands over his head and not wearing a helmet. As the backstory goes, he was actually an Imperial that...
He wasn't just an extra who lost his helmet?
Right.
Okay.
Like, in the backstory, he is an Imperial that defected while still with the Empire and was working with them alongside
That guy's got good points, but I'm sticking with my guy.
I'm just saying...
That guy made it...
How cool would it be if that was the same guy?
Holy shit. Now you're talking my language. It's like, this guy was
and
so
he was
good.
There, like, he went back and was like, you know what? I love these guys. I'm going to help them destroy the second Death Star.
I got to find this guy's name because he was such a good Imperial. He made it to the Death Star, which is like bigger than Area 51. You know what I'm saying? And then he not only went there, but he was so smart. He wasn't so blind to what was really going on. So he was a good soldier, but he wasn't stupid. It'll go on for forever. Okay. Now we're going to be talking about this guy.
That is the new show. We're just talking about this guy.
State of the Empire.
Hi, this is Christopher Lambert. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @nerdyshow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, giving your money by visiting the Nerdy Show and picking up a t-shirt. Donate directly to the Nerdy Show for cool, nerdy perks. These guys know how to fight the soldiers of Outworld. They didn't ask you to come back to do Mortal Kombat 2. I'm not quite sure why. I would have done it for free. I don't know why they asked James Remar to play Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. Hey, I stole your car from the party. Get over it.